So this is verse 6. It's the last verse in Psalm 23. And it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, boy. When I was a young Christian, that verse just penetrated into my heart, and I just grabbed a hold of that, and I thanked God for that, and I knew it was true. I knew it was for me, and I embraced it. And all the years. Forty-some years since I came to Christ. And the ladies really kind of emphasized this, that they used the word that the theme of that was adored. What I want to say today at the beginning of this is... We're favored. We're a favored people.
Amen.
You know, now another word is grace. You know, God has graced us. He has favored us. It's an overwhelming thing when you think that God favors you. He enables you to overcome fears. He enables us. And that whole thing of grace is not only that favoring comes about because He gives us something of Himself. And when He does that, we have strength where we have no strength. We have wisdom where we had no wisdom. We have graciousness for other people where we had no graciousness. Mm-hmm. It all comes from Him, and it's a divine enablement that we have. And He favors us with that. Mm-hmm. And all of us in this room, I think, are saved people. What a grand thing to know that God has our back. Yeah? That we have a God that so loves us that He did what He did for us. And that He continues to do that. And He gives us, He's given us grace, He's given us favor. Not just to come to an eternal salvation, but He adds grace upon grace. He adds favor upon favor. Right? We don't live a perfect life. We don't have things. We're not in a bubble where we're protected from all the things of this world. And neither do we have... In us that perfect attitude, because hey, we even as Christians we still sin, don't we?
Of course.
And last week I felt the Lord talking for us to consider those three men, Cain and Balaam and Korah, What we're going to do is we're actually going to end up going into talking about Cain again just for a little bit, because he's really the opposite of who we are as favored people. This was really great what the lady said. Sharon, I really appreciated what Sharon had to say. Because, you know, it's... We we know ourselves really well, and we see our thoughts and our hidden attitudes that we might have toward people or situations, or our judgmental ways, and so we identify ourselves by what we see in that fleshy nature. And it really is something that I think the Lord is showing us about His favor and graces, that He gives us the ability to move away from that. And really not to identify with our flesh any longer. Knowing it's there, not pretending that something's different, but that there is a vision and a goal to go higher. That, and God gives us the enablement, the ability to get beyond any sin, any bad attitude, any hurt. Yeah? This is something for us because we are favored. You know a word that goes with favored? Favorite. Now you think about that. You consider that God looks at you as His favorite. Wow. That starts to make you feel like you can conquer anything. That you can handle any troubling situation. Because you and I have known in whom we've believed, and we are persuaded that He is able to keep or guard that which we've committed unto Him until the day that He comes back. I wish I could keep my head there a lot. But this world distracts us, and our emotions and our thoughts and the enemy's darts that he throws into our thought life and our desires and all those things that really just become weeds that we have to get out of the way so that we think the right way. We make the right choices at the right time in our lives, right? Right now, I wish I could think the way I'm thinking right now. All the time. But you and I know that we're going to walk out of here and there's going to be distractions and disappointments and troubles and all these things that fall into our laps. And it's really important how we react to it. Right? So I'm going to look at Cain here for a minute. Because he's the antithesis, okay? He's the opposite of the way we want to allow life's problems to react the way he does, all right? So if you would go to Genesis chapter 4. Now there was he and his brother, Cain and Abel, at some particular point in time, it's right around the harvest time, probably right around Feast of Tabernacles time, they were bringing an offering before the Lord. And Abel brought forth the fat offering of animals that he had sacrificed as the offering before the Lord. And Cain was a farmer, and he ended up bringing some of the vegetables and fruits and gave that as his offering. And God accepted the offering of Abel, but rejected the offering of Cain. And What was Cain's response?
Anger.
He got angry. He got angry because his offering was not accepted. Now, with that in mind, let's go to verse 6. Okay? Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. Why are you angry? The Lord asked him. Why is your face so dark with rage? It can be bright with joy if you will do what you should. But if you refuse to obey, watch out. Sin is crouching at the door. Or in the Living, it says, sin is waiting to attack you, longing to destroy you. But you can conquer it. So, maybe this is a little different here. Maybe it's in the King James where it says, why has your countenance fallen? Now, what's a person's countenance? The look on their face, right, is your countenance. And a lot of times, a look on a person's face shows what's in their heart, right? And shows emotion that comes out in your face. You ever have somebody say something to you that you didn't like, and you really fight not to let it show on your face? You know, because your face shows a lot, doesn't it? What is inside comes out.
Yes.
It shows itself. And the Lord said to Cain, you know, your countenance has fallen. Now, and what resulted was an anger. Now, put yourself in Cain's shoes for a second. You bring an offering before the Lord, and the Lord doesn't accept your offering. Oh my. Now, you know what we're going to be? Crestfallen. It hurt. It would hurt, wouldn't it? We would have something that we're offering God to, where God says, no, that's not what I require of you. Right? Now, with us being favored of the Lord, we have an enablement where, you know, when things happen to us, the thing that usually goes on at some point along our walk in this life is that we break before the Lord, we repent, and we say, God, forgive me. You know, has everybody in here sometimes been angry with what God has allowed or has done? We've all experienced what Cain experienced here. Because we're fragile, fearful little creatures. And we want things just the way we want them to be. And we, you know, I've learned that the world doesn't revolve around me. Have you learned that about yourself? Have you learned that God doesn't make sure that you get your way every darn time? There's not one person in here that doesn't know that that's true. The world does not revolve around you. And that's important for us to know. Apparently, Cain didn't get that picture. He didn't get the memo. He was upset. Now, Cain, here's God warning Cain. Watch out, Cain. Your countenance is fallen. Sin is crouching at the door. Sin's ready to grab a hold of you. God warned Cain. What's the next thing that you learned from reading this episode? Cain says, "Hey Abel, let's go out in the fields." And he kills his brother. That anger was not given back over to God. That sin that he held on, he grabbed a hold of the sin, didn't he? Do you ever get to a place where you're upset about something and you know it's wrong, but you're so mad that you go ahead and you keep doing the thing you know is not the right thing to do?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one, I hope. Otherwise, you're going to have to, you know, I'll get on my knees and you guys all can lay hands on me. But I think all of us here can relate, right?
Yes.
And you know what? Right after that, Cain says, the Lord says to Cain, "Where's your brother Abel?" And what does Cain say to the living God? What? Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is. What has happened to Cain from before he brought his offering to that point? Oh my gosh. He's gone from, well, it was his own idea of what it was to sacrifice to God, first of all. Because God must have said, because he said, you know, if you only obey, but if you refuse to obey, watch out. Obey. Maybe God said, you need to bring an animal sacrifice. And Cain said, I'm not going to do that. I only have a couple of animals. I'm not going to do that. I have a whole bunch of fruit and vegetables. I'll just give him some of the fruits and vegetables. He didn't obey what God had asked him to do, and that's why God didn't accept his offering. He was out on his own on that. And he said, look, you know, just do the right thing and you'll find the joy that's there. Turn away from being disobedient. Turn away from that sin that so easily entangles you. And has that happened to you? When you turn away from something where you go, you know what, I've got to stop thinking like that. And you turn away from it. I mean, even with the way you think about yourself. No, I'm not going to think that way about myself. I am a chosen son or daughter of God. I am favored. I am loved. I am adored. Because, you know, that's what the scripture says. Shouldn't that be the way we identify ourselves? That changes our outlook on things, doesn't it? You know what happened to Cain? The bad thing that took place in his life that he couldn't get through and could only see the negative thing of God not accepting his offering, he allowed all of that over a short period of time to harden his heart. He didn't keep it malleable to God. He didn't see God as the one that is the one that should be broken before. He exalted himself, didn't he? God's law, God's way, is the way for all of us to live. And I think in America, especially today, it is too much a free-for-all. And we're exposed to that outside of these church walls, or you know, if you know what I'm saying. And it rubs off on us.
Yes.
oh, well, you know, a little bit of this, well, you know, who cares? I'm human. These things happen. And we're not as really strong about living the way God wants us to. We excuse our little habits and our attitudes and our lack of love or interest in what's going on with other people. You understand what I'm saying? God's doing, and I think God is doing some really rich, deep thing. One of the things that's in what happened with Cain was he was shamed when God rejected his offering. That had to be, he must have been ashamed for a little bit before he hardened himself. God doesn't mind us having to be ashamed to teach us something so that we break before him and repent before him. Right?
Right.
So there's some things that are good about being ashamed, but is there anybody here that really likes being ashamed about something? Oh no, we avoid that as much as we can. Right? And yet, we still sin. And sin brings shame. I don't know, the Jesus culture song? Oh my. You know, how did that go? I don't know if we can get that back on there or not, but...
Which one?
Did I write it down?
Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Something about shame. Can we get to that? Let's just look at that a minute. Alright, I think it's in the next... Yeah, okay. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. This is where we're going in the message here. Sin brings shame. Sin brings a captivity. And as we turn from our sin, we become free. And shame goes away. Every single person in this room has shame about something that you've done. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
And God can use that for us to repent over.
Yes.
Not to condemn us, but to convict us. Right?
That's right.
Here are some words that... you know, with that fallen countenance, the word ashamed is involved with that, or disgraced, not graced, not favored, but unfavored, disgraced, to be disgraced, right? Not to have grace, not to have the favor of God. That's what Cain was going through because of his rebellion, right? So much more so, we who have been set free should not take this whole concept of sin too lightly. Should we? I'm going to show you some things here in just a minute. So, ashamed, disgraced, humiliated, dejected, full of remorse, discredited, dishonored. Wow. And all of those feelings where Cain must have felt either dishonored or disgraced or discredited by God, and he didn't take that shamefulness of it and turn it to God and allow God to work the good thing that's going to favor him. He turned and hardened his heart. And you and I know there are things that happen in this life. If it hasn't happened to you yet, there's going to be times where you and I have to make a very strong decision not to allow circumstances to harden our hearts. Because they will. The enemy knows how to take us down the wrong road. Even us favored kids of the Lord. We can still go down a road if we're not careful. We have to be ready for that kind of thing. I'm not gonna go to it, but Job 8:22 says, "Those who hate God are clothed in shame." Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, so does shame." So this thing of being off the mark brings shame. At least that's what the scripture tells us. And so there's shame that's involved there, and it's how we handle it. Do we harden our hearts to God, or do we break and repent and ask God to change the thing that needs to be changed in our lives? Right? It's an attitude of heart, isn't it? That God is looking at to put his finger on. When that song came up, I went, wow. Here we go again. You know? But I want to tell you that as I was coming in the door here to church, I was thinking, well, God, this is kind of a different kind of message for me. You know, shame? You really want it to be about being ashamed? What? Is that what it is? But no, it wasn't. It's the antithesis of what the message really is about us really being favored of God. Right? We're favored. We're graced. But, you know, when you and I are caught in some kind of sin, bad attitude, we don't feel so favored at that time, do we? No, we don't.
Want to run and hide.
Huh? Yeah, because of the shame of it. You want to hide. You want to, oh man, whoa, why did I say that? Why did those words or that attitude just bust out of my mouth? I've said this numbers of times, you know. I've gone into meetings and I thought I've got to watch my attitude. I've got to watch my emotions because a lot of times frustration builds up in me because I want things to go the right way and then if I sense it isn't going that way, my emotions start rising up and God, please, I don't know, no, and then boom. I mess up. Right? And after it's all over with, I'm going home and I'm so upset with myself and I feel ashamed that I couldn't control myself the way I wanted to control myself. Right? You guys have does that happen to you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so God uses those things as teaching moments, and little by little, it gets deeper and deeper into our hearts when we turn and we give it to God and say, God, please forgive me for this. Right?
Yeah.
So, I'm not even going to turn to this either. Romans 8:2 says that we are free. Because of the Holy Spirit, we are free from the power of sin and death. We can be free. Isn't that great? That is a favor that God gives to us. We can be free of that. But what gets involved is our choices and the weeds that distract us and get us so that we're not keeping our minds at the right spot. But little by little, every single person in here, I'll bet you that you have grown to be better at doing it than you were a year ago, 2 years ago. Look at yourself 5 years ago, if you can. You think about how you thought and reacted to things and the sins that so easily beset you, and you go, oh, I don't do that anymore. Oh, I've gotten better at such and such. That's what I mostly have to say. I can't say that it's totally gone and almost anything. But at least, you know, you and I are going in the right direction. So grab a hold of that and say, God, thank you for your favor. I want to move in more of your favor. I want grace upon grace.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
That divine enablement.
Okay, so let's look at a couple things that help us to have that kind of real favor that God so abundantly wants to give us. Would you go in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2?
There are some things here that if we're doing these things, it helps us to be in a place where we're not going to be making as many bad decisions or wrong responses to things. In 2 Timothy 2, I guess we'll start in 19. It says this, "But God's truth stands firm like a great rock, and nothing can shake it. It is a foundation stone with these words written on it. The Lord knows those who are really His. And a person who calls himself a Christian should not be doing things that are wrong. In a wealthy home, there are dishes made of gold and silver as well as made from wood and clay. The expensive dishes are for the guests. The cheap ones are used in the kitchen to put garbage in." Now, that's kind of funny. That isn't the way that King James is. Anyway, "if you stay away from sin..." You hear this? "If you stay away from sin, you will be like the dishes made of the purest gold, the very best in the house, so that Christ himself can use you for his highest purposes." Now, in the King James, it says, we are vessels of honor. When there is shame, there is dishonor, isn't there? It's important for us to allow the process of mortify, I think in King James it says, mortify the deeds of the body. Allow God to deal with our hearts and recognize when maybe we've insulted somebody and we didn't even realize it. You know, there's lots of things that happen we don't even realize we've done it. But there's plenty of things that afterwards your conscience gets you and you go, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. Right? Or I probably shouldn't have thought that. And verse 22 says, "Run from anything that gives you evil thoughts. But stay close to anything that makes you want to do right." Boy, if we would just do that. Do we run away from thoughts that we know we shouldn't be having, or we entertain a little bit, and instead of really running away from those thoughts? Have you? I bet you've done this. I know I've done this. When I've actually wanted to move away from a sinful thought or a thought that was going to take me in the wrong direction. I'm sitting down. I'm on the computer, a thought comes into my mind. I put that computer. Sometimes when I'm doing really well, I put that computer down. I get up and I go and I do something else because I have to run away from that thought. Do you do that? Because isn't that something that you have to do? So when he says, run away from anything that gives you evil thoughts, we need to do that sometimes. Sometimes I can't just shut down a thought. I have to be doing something. I got to be moving, doing something to get my mind off of that. Right? Now, you might hear this. You might agree with this. I might hear this coming out of my own mouth and agree with it. But, sometimes the doing of it is a little bit harder. But we're still required of the Lord to be these kinds of people, though, aren't we?
You know what's really good about God's Word is that it seems like it's really hard and oh man, are you kidding me? What, you put this finger right on something that I got to deal with? But you know what? The grace and the favor that come with His Word make it so that we can do it because it's His power and His strength that allows us to do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Isn't that right? Okay, so that's one thing. This purging, purge ourselves, I think is the way the King James said it. Right up above that, it says, study to show yourself approved. Are we really getting into the Word of God the way we need to, right? Study to show yourself approved so that you will not be ashamed, it says, if you look at this, at that scripture. Is it up there?
Not yet. Which one?
At 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm sorry, I don't think I said it. 2:15, just up above a little bit. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right. And then I'm just going to finish up with this. Go to 1 John chapter 2 again. 1 John chapter 2. Yeah, and it's just one verse, verse 28. And now, my little children, stay in happy fellowship with the Lord. In the King James, it says, abide. Right? Is that what it says up there, too? Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have what?
Confidence.
Oh, we can be confident in God? We don't always have to be wondering, are we accepted or are we not accepted? We can be confident, right?
Amen.
When we abide in Him. And that abiding, that doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that when we do stumble and fall, we don't harden our hearts, as in the day of provocation. We don't harden our hearts. We recognize who we are and understand that God has provided for us the grace to get beyond that. And we repent, and that keeps us in his graces, doesn't it? He favors us. He favors those that are not prideful, that don't want to just go their own way, that will repent. First, I think it's 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins,
He is faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sins. And then what? And then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ah, man.
Thank you, Lord.
That's favor. We are favored.
Thank you, Lord.
Favored people.
So it says here, so we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. That ultimate shame is when our lives have ended and we're standing in front of God. Now you think about that. And maybe that might change, maybe just one thing today. Where you're going in the wrong direction and you go, oh no, I'm not going to let myself go in that direction. I'm not going to feel that way or act that way or say that thing or allow this anger or blah, 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 you know, whatever it is. No, no, I'm going to stop that right now. Because of who He is. And He deserves my obedience. Cheryl.
Two words come to me. Good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough. It has like two meanings. To do something so-so, like we thought, oh, that's good enough. Nobody will know. Whatever. Or being good enough, that we're good enough for God's approval.
Yeah. And
God approves us.
Yeah.
Through the blood of Christ. Because of the blood of Christ, isn't it? Not anything we do. And you know what? And then walking out this, you know, we live in the Spirit because we've been given the Spirit. And the Scripture tells us in Ephesians, well, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. So that's choices through our daily life, isn't it? We're making the choice to live that way. To turn from those things and live the way God wants us to. And I think He wants us to be really serious about it. You know? Not just talk about it, but to be serious about it. Day-to-day choices and... Yes, Bob.
God granted us grace and mercy.
Yes.
We should not take that for granted.
Lightly. Can't take it lightly.
There should be a warning on everyone has.
Yeah, there's a warning.
I'm guilty of that.
Yes. Yeah, I think we all are. And that whole thing with Cain. God says to Cain, your countenance has fallen. Watch out. Sin is waiting at the door. So we don't want to be those kind of people, do we? We want to have tender hearts to a tender God, a loving God. That had this whole plan of salvation. And we hopefully we are grateful and thankful and want to be faithful to that loving God who did what He did. Right? So Lord, we look to You today. Faithful, loving, gracious God who favors us. We are favored people. And so, Lord, Your goodness leads us to repentance. Your goodness is what we long for. And, Lord, we can have it. We can embrace it. We can forever and ever be in Your courts. Forever and ever. I thank You, Lord. I'm just going to read that Psalm 23. Last verse again. And we'll close. If I can get to it. Now I'm going to read the whole verse. I'm going to read the six verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams.
He restores my failing health. He helps me. He helps me do what honors Him the most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. You have welcomed me as Your guest. Blessings overflow. Surely, goodness and kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.